Moonlight Trust.
Yeah, but it's not my name.
Basil.
Yeah.
Basil Patterson.
Yeah. Basil Patterson, Moonlight Trust Director. It's just the submissions in the name of Moonlight
that
Trust.
That sounds quite good.
So, good morning and welcome. We've read the original submission. Thank you for that. You're very welcome now to speak to it and outline key points for us.
Yeah, I guess I'm farming 1,200 hectares. It's there's three classes of land. There's what you'd say is intensive paddocks, semi-intensive hill, and then I've got retired hill country that's basically grazes a few deer, probably, about it. I've got three main creeks running through my place with a lot of side branching creeks. I've spent most of my life probably trying to control course. My concerns are around this plan are two. The two issues are fencing off the waterways. For me, there's a couple of if that was imposed on this farm, I would see some incredible difficulties in doing that. If somebody asked me to run a bulldozer up my creeks, it would be, but basically that's where most of our gorse originated from, was bulldozing fence lines. So, I mean, basically since I've taken over the property in 1990, I've fenced off probably 3 to 4 areas of beech trees, which are now regenerating. I was through them just the other day. We've basically planted more trees than what I would have ever cleared, or scrub land that we would have cleared in aesthetic sort of tree plantings. And just shoutabouts and whatnot. So I guess my concern is, we are fencing, I've probably done a K of creeks this year on the intensive paddocks. We've been fencing them off. I don't know, the submitter before the last one was talking, but to me, if those creeks aren't planted out in some form, it's going to be a disaster, really, because it doesn't take long before the broom and the gorse will soon colonise that area. And of course, the seeds will drop in the creek, and I'm at the headwaters, so I mean, basically, it's all going to go downstream anyway. To me, I've talked to Environment Southland about this, and there's a couple of ways around that. When I drive around Southland and see waterways that are fenced off and not planted out, I think it's such a waste, you know, aesthetically, but also environmentally. It would be such an advantage for, you know, Southland in general if we could start planting these out in natives. I've talked to Nathan a lot about this, and there must, you know, like, for example, I've asked people why we can't get carbon credits on waterways. And I was told that nobody's done any research on what a flax bush or a kauai tree or these things would trap, and the other reason is because people aren't prepared to monitor or put people on the ground to inspect them. With my research I've done is there is research done into carbon trapping on natives, and I can get those figures to you if you're interested in them. To me, it's there's a classic example of where we could, as farmers, claim at least get some fencing costs or something back on planting these riparian strips out. I've heard that the government have to spend in excess of $1 billion in the next 10 years to go offshore and buy carbon credits. I mean, there must be somebody who can alert them to, well, we've got these waterways that we've got fenced off that can be planted out and we can start claiming our own credit. At the moment, the government are doing schemes where they'll come in and plant trees on your place for no cost at all, as long as they get the carbon credits for the first 10 years. So, I mean, to me, it's a track that you guys need to explore because, you know, it's going to solve a problem. We're going to basically have a filtering system for our creeks. And also, like, for example, I planted probably about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe more like 10 years ago, 4 or 5 kauai trees. And since I've planted them, we've had 3 wood pigeons move into our garden. You know, like, you basically, when you start planting these areas out, you're going to see not only the advantages from the filtration and holding the bank there, but you're also going to enhance our environment. So in that respect, I can definitely see the advantages on, like, a property like mine, fencing off the waterways where the paddocks are and maybe planting them out. As regards to the hill country, it would be just such a nightmare for me to see that happen, because unless they're planted out or unless it's done properly, the cost would be tremendous, and also the problems of the gorse and broom that would come in. As regards to just cultivating the steepness of the cultivation, my thoughts on it is that, like, I've had this argument discussion at an Environment Southland. When my father first came in and started developing hill country and ploughing the hills, there was a couple of times we've had thunderstorms, and it was a disaster. The soil is just like sand. But after probably about 20 years of farming, we've added organic matter to that. So when we are now cultivating the hill country, it's like a glue. It's actually improved the soil structure. And we've put, you know, a lot of organic matter in there. The worm life is now going, and it's a healthy soil, where before you have a light, friable soil that's very prone to erosion. On our hill, basically the two elements that we apply are lime, which, you know, will not damage the waterways, and phosphate, which I'm told that will not leach, to especially the amounts that we're putting on to affect the waterways. So I think you guys are in a prime position to make decisions around our waterways that would enhance them, you know, by maybe looking at the possibilities. I think one thing if this fencing of waterways does come through, and it would have to be over a long period of time, you know, to do this. And to me, you'd want to do it and plant it out so you don't do as much in a 5-year period, but do it properly. And so it's not financially, it would be pretty tough, you know, to actually have to pay for all this fencing and planting out. To me, the planting out should be funded from, it could be funded like a lot of different ways. I think when there's nurseries need to be set up to plant, and I mean, the argument people would say is, well, we don't want to plant out waterways because it's shading our pastures. But I think generally speaking, if you get a native mix of, say, flaxes, kauais, cabbage trees that are low growing, shrubby type ones, and maybe throw in, I'm a big fan of a tree called Chilean Beech, which is Nothofagus, which is very closely related to our native, except it's fully deciduous. So basically that would allow, in the winter, the sun to keep the pastures from being shaded. It would keep the sun on it and provide shade during the summer. So I think, I mean, to me, it's an ideal opportunity for us to actually start planting out waterways, especially the ones that are fenced off now. And I think that's where we need to start. And to fund it, I think this is the model I put to Environment South, a third paid by the farmer, because it does increase the value of your farm, a third to be funded by local bodies, and a third to be funded by government. And that's provided, if you could put something like a carbon credit scheme in there, that would help fund it as well. So I guess that's my concerns.
No, that's good, thank you. Let's see if we have questions for you.
Yes, good morning. Have you done or got any industry farm management plans in place, or have you been involved with any type of farm management plan?
A formal farm management plan?
Well, there's the beef and lamb or other industry type.
No, I haven't been involved with anything like that.
Because you are opposed to the Appendix E and the introduction of farm management plans.
I think why I'd be, what, I don't know if I've read that correctly or what, but what I'd be opposed to is one blanket rule for all. You know, like you take a farm like mine that's quite diverse, and compare it to, there's probably three farms in our area that are quite similar, but if you try and compare that to even the farms that I've seen here this morning, we're quite different. So one size won't fit all. And even in my farm, you know, if you come out with a blanket rule, you can't cultivate over a certain area or over certain degrees. It has to be looked at, and I guess what I'd say is common sense has to come into view. My father, I'd say, he's cultivated stuff that's, you know, too steep, and if I was to cultivate it, I'd probably leave it out. But when you start putting a blanket rule in, and then somebody says, "Oh, you're 1 degree over what the," you know, how are you going to work all that out? To me, it's got to be looked at as an individual case.
In terms of, we hear quite a few submitters talking about weeds growing in these fenced off riparian areas. Are you saying that if you could get the appropriate trees planted in those fenced off areas, that would mitigate the loss of root?
My thing is, especially with the wilding pine, we've got wilding pine at home. My thing is, with gorse, To wipe a gorse plant out is almost impossible. You spray it and it's got thousands of seeds in the ground, right? To wipe it out, and my argument with the wilding pine is, you've got to change the species. Like, so if you fence off your riparian strip, and you've got probably 6 or 7 years before broom or gorse starts to really come in. And then once it's in, it's pretty hard to get rid of. So you've got 5 or 6 years after you fence it, and I've planted a lot of trees. I know the struggles you have with getting them established, especially natives. You've got to do it at the start when it's fenced off, or else if you put it and leave it, then you've got to go and spray the gorse. You'll have an awful battle. Natives aren't so bad. They can come through, gorse and broom, but it's still, you've got the ideal opportunity to do it at the start. I love trees. I've planted many trees, and I've had lots of heartbreak with trees and spent a lot of money and lost a lot of trees. So to me, you've got that opportunity at the start. But to me, the ideal opportunity is to set up a nursery, say, right, per K, it's going to cost so much to plant it out in these native mixture. That's what we want. Get guys to come in that know what they're doing, so they come in, they'll have the right spray. Natives are quite susceptible to the wrong spray, but when you get somebody who knows what they're doing, so per K it's going to cost you 10 grand, whatever it is. The guys will come in, spray it, then they'll plant it. Funding, honestly, like for example, who was it? Sir Richard Branson came over to New Zealand recently and said, we shouldn't be milking cows, we should be growing dope. And I presume I heard him correctly, but that's what I heard him say. This would be an ideal opportunity to say, look, Sir Richard Branson, you give us some of your millions, And we can put that into riparian planting and actually improve our environment. You know, we can actually have an argument if we've got, you know, people start criticising us, especially people with money, we've got an argument to say, look, we are doing this. For $1 million, we can plant out 10K of riparian strips, you know what I mean? The opportunity is there if we get the nurseries and get the system set up to do it.
Thank you.
Here.
Yeah, thank you, Basil. You know that I'm reasonably familiar with your property, so I understand your statements you're making about fencing waterways. But I have a question about, do you have a definition of what is a waterway?
I know what I'd have a definition is of what I would, but it's probably not what. I don't know what the official...
Share it.
I've got creeks where only run probably when it rains. And I wouldn't call that a waterway. Mm. I've got creeks that are running all year round that are fed by springs. I'd call that a waterway. And that's my definition. And I've asked the same question of Southland environment people, Environment Southland people, and I haven't really got a clear answer. One answer I got, which is if you get your boots wet when you cross it, that's what I've heard. Not my definition.
Okay, that's fine. The other question I have, you know, reading your preliminary submission, you're not happy about Section E and farm management plans, and you suggest having land sustainable officers from Environment Southland visit your farm every 2 years for a day.
Yep.
You'd be happy to pay for that?
Pay for it? Yeah, I mean, I guess so. We're all in this together, aren't we? A wee bit is, if I don't pay for it directly, I'll probably pay for it indirectly. I mean, at the end of the day, and I can only speak for myself and probably two or three farmers, we're the best, probably environmentalists. We're all tree huggers around my way anyway, and we want to do the best by the land. When we see a disaster happening, like a slip or something, we want to fix it. You know, the best environmentalist is the guy who owns the land. If I start leasing out my land or somebody else is farming it, a corporate, I don't think there'll be the same level of care for the land myself. So I think owner farmers, my father, myself, have ended up enhancing the environment more than doing damage to it.
Thank you.
Lloyd?
No, I think Mr. Chairman, you made your points clear, so thank you.
Don't go away yet. I've got a question for you. But first of all, just in terms of the stock exclusion, which you talked to us a little bit about, I'm not sure if you're aware that central government's put out stock exclusion regulations. You know about?
I have heard that.
Yeah, okay. So those regulations, we're expecting them to be finalised prior to the election. And when those regulations are finalised, then this plan can't have any rules that are more lenient than the national regulations, so our hands are going to be a little bit tied.
Yeah.
What the officers have done in their reporting to us, they've recommended that the Rule 70 be changed to align with the draft regulations. So I'm going to ask Philistine Joe there to Xerox page 114 of the staff report and give that to you. That'll tell you, let you see what the latest recommendations are based on the central government regulations, but that's still a work in progress. We don't know what the final rules are going to say. So that's just for your info. Yeah. I don't need you to answer that, it's just for your info.
Okay.
But my actual question is, looking at your submission on cultivation, you say there's certain areas of your farm with slopes greater than 20 degrees that are well away from waterways. When you say well away, what sort of distance were you thinking of there? Is it 5, 10, 20, 50 metres? What sort of distance?
Oh, gosh. I've got 1,200 hectares to be able to give you an answer that's A, truthful, and B, that would sum it up. But generally speaking, most of my waterways, stock can't get to them. Mm. As in, they can get to them, but they're not easily to get. I'll give you an example. I've got one paddock where the creek runs through the paddock.
Yeah.
It's basically, the creek's gone almost underground. You can almost ride a vehicle over the top of it. There's one place where it's not, and it's where the stock come to drink. So they could get to all the waterways, but they only get to where they can have a drink out of it, I suppose. So sorry,
I should have probably didn't make the question clear. I was talking more about cultivation. So if you're cultivating a steep slope on your farm, how far away from a waterway would you generally try to stay?
Oh, metres?
Yeah.
20?
Okay. All right.
It's more extensive property than some, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, am I not meant to ask questions? So what is the definition of waterway? Am I allowed to ask?
Again, we can have the officers photocopy for you the relevant page of the plan that talks about that. And I'd also ask them to photocopy for you or send to you. We've had both Fish and Game and Fonterra have submitted to us that we should include a definition of what's called active bed, so that a waterway would only be dealt with in the rules if it has an active bed. And that's an approach that's been taken in other regions in New Zealand. So just for your own information, I don't need you to answer this at all. Just let you know what those two organisations, interestingly enough from my perspective, at each end of the environment, you know, the spectrum, have both submitted to us the same request. So that's interesting from my point of view, and we'll get that information to you just for your info as well. All right, but thank you very much for coming in and making your views known to us. That's the end of the submitters we had scheduled for the